This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Down on the farm, costs are up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. One of the reasons food prices have gone up so much is the cost of fertilizer. The Department of Agriculture says in April, farmers paid 65% more for fertilizer than they did a year ago. Some farming groups accuse fertilizer producers of price gouging. Those companies say it's plain old supply and demand. Guess who else is raking it in? Oil companies. They produce sulfur, which is a key ingredient in fertilizer. Oil is trading at $133 a barrel this morning. That price has countries scrambling to find more oil. For example, in the Arctic Ocean. Several countries, including the U.S., meet in Greenland tomorrow to talk about exploring the Arctic. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Global warming and the melting of the polar ice cap have made the Arctic Ocean more accessible. No one can be certain just how much oil and gas lies beneath the ocean floor, but the five Arctic states, the US, Russia, Norway, Denmark, and Canada, are taking no chances. They have the right to lay claim to exploit certain portions of the ocean bed. Russia's been the most proactive. One of its submarine crews planted a flag on the sea floor last year. Other Arctic states are getting nervous. They meet in Greenland to air their concerns. Environmental campaigners like Mark Linus are dismayed.
I have to say I do begin to despair for humanity if our main response to the disappearance of the Arctic ice cap because of global warming is that we seek to drill for more oil there.
But it seems safe to say that with oil at more than $130 a barrel, the Arctic's potential hydrocarbon riches will not be ignored. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street gets back to work today after a pretty bad run last week. The Dow was down almost 4%. In Asia today, stocks rebounded from yesterday's big losses with a gain of about 1%. European shares are down 0.5% so far. The Dow is at 12,474 to start the week. The NASDAQ at 2440. And the S&P 500 is at 1375. Maybe Mattel should come up with a new line for Barbie. Courtroom fashions. Today, Barbie's lawyers go to court for a trademark infringement trial. Mattel accuses the maker of the Bratz dolls, MGA Entertainment, of stealing the idea for Bratz. Stacey Vanek Smith tells us what's at stake.
Barbie's small and so petite.
Petite, maybe, but Barbie's been the 800-pound gorilla of the doll industry for about 50 years. The plastic princess is worth an estimated $1.25 billion.
Barbie was so unchallenged that it was considered impossible to take it on.
That's toy industry consultant Richard Gottlieb. He says the phenomenal success of Bratz, which debuted in 2001, was a major coup.
Move over, queen. We're on the throne.
But Mattel claims Bratz's creator was working for Mattel when he came up with the multi-ethnic belly-flashing rebel chicks. Original sketches of Bratz are being forensically tested to see when they were drawn. Why would Mattel go to all this trouble when Barbie sales are more than double Bratz? Again, Gottlieb.
Both Bratz and Barbie have been really struggling the last 2 years. If you're losing market share in a shrinking market, that's not good.
Barbie's already tried to take back its turf with Barbie Flavas. Sinking its fingernails into Bratz would put the rivalry to rest. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. And by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com.
In Beirut, the fighting has stopped for the moment. There's a new power-sharing agreement between the Lebanese government and the Hezbollah militants. You'd think real estate in a war-torn city like Beirut would be dirt cheap. But actually, homes and condos are pretty darn expensive. Foreign investors have started to notice. Ben Gilbert has more from Beirut.
Just 2 weeks ago, Hezbollah militiamen fought street to street in this West Beirut neighborhood using machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades. After the smoke cleared, the windows were blown out of high-rises on some streets, but the offices of Coldwell Banker stood unscathed, and business quickly resumed. Combat is normally not a good sign for real estate, but broker Mario Mohana says Lebanese investors see this as a buying opportunity.
There is a French proverb that says, you have to buy on the sound of the cannons and sell on the sound of the violins. And here they are applying this 100%. More things goes worse, they say this is an opportunity to buy.
Mohana volunteered to take me to an old Lebanese house near his office that he's renovating for a client. It cost around $2 million 1 year ago. It will be worth $6 million after renovation.
Like 10 days ago, there was fighting only about 3 blocks from here, and the price hasn't gone down at all.
Not at all. No, they didn't go down.
Without skipping a beat, Mohana resumes his tour.
You see, this is from here, the facade, the main facade, which is wonderful. This will become a garden.
Mohana is unshakably optimistic, but it seems for good reason. Real estate prices have risen by at least 30% here in the last few years. Some areas have seen prices double. Mohana isn't really worried about renewed fighting, but he does have limits.
Don't buy without a parking.
Without parking?
No parking, you will never be able to sell it again. This is a must now.
Mohana has done his homework. Throughout Lebanon's civil war, property prices rarely went down. Ashraf Kojok, the manager at Coldwell Banker's West Beirut office, says rich Gulf Arabs love Lebanon, as do the millions of Lebanese overseas who earn salaries in strong euros and buy Lebanese real estate in cheap dollars. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
This weekend, China outlaws those thin plastic grocery bags. You know, scientists say they're dangerous to wildlife, but not many countries have banned them so far. In the U.S., the only city that has done it is San Francisco, which imposed restrictions last month. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.